Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 4th of June, recording at... it's 6:39 p.m. That's British Summer Time. And although I'm very capable of enjoying my holidays, indeed, it's nice to be back. Now, first, the highlights. In terms of global stock markets, the big story today was sharp fall in the China A-share indices and composite indices, the B-share indices, so the mainland China indices, that did not spread through to the rest of Asia, which was impressively resilient. However, we have a softer tone in the European stock markets here today, nothing big on the downside. The weakest one, I think, is Italy, and that's been kind of soft all along. It's been underperforming the other European markets recently. And Wall Street, we see a small decline here. It's been small decline pretty much all day, but down 19 on the Dow, for instance, less than half a point on the S&P. And in government bonds, which have been so very weak recently, we've got a wee bit of a rally in the U.S. contracts, and actually the Eurobonds were also up slightly in here today. Other news, the U.S. dollar, now it's getting hit in here, got back close to that, got back to that 82 level, fractionally below it before steadying, but is not that firm. It's at 82.076. And for instance, we've got the euro firmer here, up at 134.78, dollars down against the Swissie at 122.45. But it's the commodity currencies that I know Owen's been pointing out to you that have really been strong in here for quite a while. The Canadian dollar, one of the strongest of all. And in metals, we have a generally firm tone in the industrial metals. I think lead's a small exception. This is only down one here today, but so quietly firm in the metals. Precious metals have been mixed in here today, mostly on the upside. But fairly quiet after the good action that we saw last week. Gold is actually down 83 cents as I speak. It's at 670.92. That's the bullion. And among soft commodities, sugar, white sugar getting hit in here today. Coffee reacting. It had such a strong day on Friday, as you may have seen. And in the grains, they're mostly a little bit easier. Cotton's a little bit easier. I think the exception is wheat, which is up in here today. And crude oil. Crude oil has swung around a bit in here today, but is pretty firm at the moment. 66.15. That's up $1.07 as I speak. Okay, so, well, what's going on here overall? The most important point to make is that the global stock market rally remains very much on track. What we have seen with some indices is a bit of sideways ranging overall, but within this upward trend, and we haven't seen much in the way of downward dynamics, the most interesting exception to that recently has been the mainland China indices, but there's been no contagion that we've seen so far. So again, as I mentioned in my introduction, that's an impressive performance by the other Asian indices. I accept that China's a bit of a special case, but it's also a very newsworthy market, and we do have China very much under observation, so there is a risk that if it continues downwards in here, that will cause some form of contagion. There's also a risk that China is actually leading a reaction among other stock markets. The leaders, as veteran subscribers and delegates at the chart seminar will know, I often emphasize that the leaders will very often lead in both directions, in other words, on both the rallies and during some of the corrective phases. And one of the reasons for that is because they become the focal point of attention, and there's so many players that they involved that they tend to turn a little bit more quickly. They steal the limelight and the greater participation. Whether that will happen this time around, again, since most of us can't trade the China A shares or not very easily, it remains to be seen. Now, today's weakness on China was quite pronounced. So, best case scenario in terms of the bulls would be that that might possibly be climactic, but we'd really need to see the composite pushing back up above the 4,000 level and on a and on an upward dynamic, as Owen mentioned in his chart comment here today. Now, overall, though, despite a fair amount of nervousness in stock markets, what must be said is that they continue to perform like markets generally perform in the third year of the U.S. presidential election cycle. In other words, as veteran subscribers will also have heard me say on so many occasions, historically, on Wall Street, the third year of the presidential election cycle, 2007 in this case, is the most bullish overall. And again, a lot of people felt that this wasn't going to happen again this year, and the reasons were the rising interest rates, the U.S. economic slowdown, and so on. But as I say, so far, markets are performing like a typical third year in the U.S. presidential election cycle. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of things that we could, well, that we need to be concerned about or we need to keep an eye on that could cause some trouble. Food price inflation, an acceleration of the advance in long-dated government bond yields, a considerably weaker dollar. Those are all factors that would certainly roil markets somewhat, but they're not doing so at the present. And they are not problems, in other words, at the present. Those are storm clouds that are visible on the horizon, but they're not menacing us at the moment. So, best guess here is that this environment continues to favor the bulls overall, with the risk being what I have said all along this year and from late last year. The risk is really that we see somewhat larger reactions than we had seen throughout most of last year. An example of such a larger reaction was, of course, what occurred at the end of February and the beginning of March. And I've said repeatedly subsequently that the reaction phases that I expected moving forward from that point would be not anywhere near so sharp, because that was a mini meltdown, but would be more of the ranging variety. They might match that late February, early March move in terms of size, but almost certainly not in terms of speed. We've had a few that have been of a similar size, and we will probably see some more between now and the end of the year. But I would expect them, without some sort of dramatic catalyst, I would expect them to be, as I say, of a much more gradual and ranging nature. And that's healthy, because that really helps markets to correct the short-term overbought or overextended positions that do develop from time to time. My main concern, as you may recall, was that markets became too overheated. Well, certainly China had become overheated, and it would be prudent, I think, to think in terms now of a medium-term correction. Now, a medium-term correction can be anything from a few months to well, a couple of years. I think certainly in terms of China, I would think in terms of a few weeks to a few months at most, not anything more extreme than that. Now, we do know that officials in China have been trying to slow up the stock market rally, but they're certainly not trying to break the back of it. That wouldn't do anyone any good. But they want to obviously curb the overheating. And if the Chinese stock market begins to, if the correction in the Chinese stock market begins to snowball, and we saw some evidence of that today, if that continues, then I think we could expect some reassuring comments, and that the government will try to manage that market, and it is certainly in a position to do so. They have succeeded in slowing it up, and with a rip-roaring strong economy, if investors turn a little bit panicky, the officials, I would be quite confident, will be able to manage that as well to reassure them and to firm the market up again. But I suspect what they would like most of all would be to see this reaction, correction, whatever it is, turn into more of a ranging phase that just holds the market in place for at least a few weeks. Okay. Looking elsewhere, well, I pretty well covered the other stock markets. Some interesting developments, though, in Asia. Japan has improved somewhat, but it still hasn't broken up out of the overall broad trading range. But I had mentioned, you might remember me saying at the beginning of this year, late last year, that I thought we might see some decent performances from some of the previously underperforming developed country stock markets. And I listed Korea, I listed Taiwan, among them, well, Singapore, and also Japan. Well, Japan's the laggard. Korea has been, along with Singapore, very much the leader, and it does look as if Taiwan is going to follow that lead and is now coming into form, and Japan, I would expect to follow sometime not too long thereafter in terms of overall upside activity. As far as government bonds are concerned, some of the declines are a little bit oversold, but I think the penny has dropped that this is a bear market for global bonds. I see more people now asking if that's the case or suggesting that that's the case. You know my view. Well, veteran subscribers will know my view that the global bull market in bonds, and it was a good 18 years or more, that actually ended back in June 2003. And everything else we have seen has been a topping out in government long-dated government bond prices, or conversely, a bottoming out in long-dated government bond yields. Now, the yields have not risen enough to create a headwind for global stock markets. They've actually been, I've described them as a bit of a tailwind because people have inevitably moved some money out of the fixed interest sector and into equities. But if we start to get 10-year U.S. Treasuries, for instance, sustaining a break above that psychological 5% yield level, I'd say maintaining a move above that level and extending it, that's only a matter of time, and then that will be creating a headwind, I think, for stock markets. Quite when that kicks in psychologically is difficult to anticipate, but I'll put it this way: bond markets are not going to be a page 18 news item when we get that yield moving above the 5% level. Oh, and it's not far off that here right now. If it just touches 5% and falls back, then people will relax a little bit more. It's really the sustained break to see U.S. 10-year government bond yields move back above the 5% level, consolidate there, and then go on and start to push higher. That's what I'm referring to is having the potential to unnerve investors to the point of becoming an increasingly strong headwind for equities. But that's not the case at the moment. But as I say, it will happen at some point in here, not least because there are a lot of bonds about, there's a lot of liquidity about, which has helped to fan inflationary pressures. We have the synchronized global economic recovery, and that is causing some commodity related inflationary pressures. That's an old story, but an extremely important one that we've hammered away at for quite some time, as you know. Now, I'm not expecting any dramatic increase in inflation anytime soon. I'm just saying that we are in a long-term inflationary cycle, as perhaps you recall. As far as the agricultural commodities are concerned, I posted the Browning, or related to the agricultural commodities, I posted the Browning newsletter. It's a terrific report here today. Absolutely fascinating stuff. You can read all about the La Nina here. But suffice it to say, as I have in the past, that demand for all agricultural commodities, just like demand for all industrial commodities, is rising at rates that we have not really seen before, or not have not seen sustained for very long previously. And this has helped to reduce global stockpiles and to create shortages, certainly among the industrial metals, as we've seen in recent years. But going back to the agricultural commodities, the key variable, as always, will be the production side. And the world needs a bit of luck to get through the next few years without some dramatic price spikes, because global reserves, global stockpiles of these commodities are for the most part quite low, the lowest they've been for quite some time. I mentioned that the demand is rising at a faster rate often and at a more persistent rate than we have seen previously, or holding those that increase in demand for longer than we have seen previously, and that's very much in line with all the countries that are participating in this synchronized global economic expansion, and that was going to cause problems. So any adverse weather conditions would certainly exacerbate those problems. And then you've got the whole biofuel thing, which is increasing demand for some of these agricultural commodities. Even more so. Now, what about the metal prices overall? I've been very impressed by the action that we've seen in silver and gold and platinum also in the last few days. Well, palladium, all of them. Really, silver led this last move on the upside. I've put some charts up discussing these. Note in particular the way on the last corrective phase, which I believed bottomed at the end of last month, that gold and silver came down in a more orderly fashion than they had previously. Previously, we'd get these mini meltdowns, but they came down more slowly in a ranging fashion, and since last Thursday have been rising faster than they came down. That suggests demand is increasing relative to supply at a time when a lot of people had kind of given up hope that precious metals were going to go up, although they didn't come down very much in that last correction that I believe bottomed at the end of last month. They were drifting down for a sufficient number of weeks to weigh on investors' nerves. Understandably so, and to cause some people to drift away from precious metals. That may well be changing now, and as I say, I like that recent action. Crude oil looks very much like consolidation. Here I've said it would be very much of a ranging type of recovery, but it looks like, as I say, a consolidation here in the mid-60s prior to the next upward break. Same old story. Very, very strong demand, and OPEC has helped to reduce the supply a little bit recently. And I think that's pretty much it here today. I look forward, I wish you all the best and look forward to broadcasting again tomorrow.